Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today, what are we discussing today, Neil? The duration between lifetimes on the astral realm. Mm-hmm. But first, a couple of announcements. Well, not really announcements, just our regular announcements, which are phone number for call-in, 914-338-0164. And also, we invite our callers and listeners to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Twitter and on Facebook, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation after the radio show. So please call that number if you'd like to speak further. And let's get on with it. So it's funny because, you know, in the astral realm, really, there's no time. There's no linear time. But this is from an earthly perspective. And I know that depending on what happens in the previous lifetime, that there's going to be different durations of time on a linear level that souls spend in the astral realm.
Yes. I mean, there's the relationship of time on the astral realm. There's really no time on the astral realm. There's energy and there's movement and there's changes. The reason that we consider time in the astral realm is because the astral realm is still connected to the earthly realm where there is time. So whatever you're doing on the astral realm in that plane, the moment you come back to the earth, you're connected to time. So there is a sense of timing on the astral realm.
Right, in that regard,
it's
yes.
Connected to
that
the
makes sense.
Attitude of earth time.
Okay.
But when you get into the, so there is some strategy there, because when someone is coming back into the planet, they're going to be born in a certain era, during a certain history, with certain parents and that kind of thing. So there is a sense of time on the astral realm. Okay. Now, what is really going on in the astral realm is, so, as long as a soul, as far as a soul is concerned, is the vibration and intensity of what that soul went through in former bodies. So if the intensity of there's an intensity of karma that a soul went through, let's say there's a lot to be worked through, then, of course, it's a higher job. It's not, it's not a just clear the drain. It's major plumbing.
Right. So you're saying more time on the astral realm.
Yeah.
But there are some times I know when there's a great deal of karma and people get sent down immediately to earth. I mean, they die and then they go back real fast, which is there's no time for repair. They have to deal with the problems, on the earth.
Yes. The diversity of karma can demand an immediate return, where the pleasures of even being able to extend one's soul into the astral realm for a sort of reprieve or a recess is not immediate. It's almost like you're found guilty, so you're hauled right off to jail. There's no, you can't sit and spend 2 weeks with your family before you serve a life sentence. You're done for. So the attitude that if you have a strong energy on the planet that you left, it's extremely negative and vital towards the aspect of having time to serve time on the planet, there's limited, quote, time in the astral realm. and you have to immediately go back whether you like it or not. There isn't time. So it's almost like the earth will arrest you from the astral realm and deploy you right back to its premise, to the premise of what you left undone. Basically, when you're in the astral world, you're really learning lessons. You're going over indiscretions and transgressions you did in the physical body. So in order for the soul to graduate from the physical plane to the spiritual plane, the soul gets to have a moment of time, if you will, where they get to understand the interaction between the two worlds. Because sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So in the astral realm, you're allowed to release yourself of the body so that you can thereby increase your energy field on the soul level and maybe come down with more strength, because you're not dealing with the body anymore. You're not waking up, you're not eating, you're not desirous of anything that the earth has to offer. So it gives the soul time to increase their wattage. They can learn. They have spiritual helpers around them. It's almost like when someone goes to jail, but they get counseling and guidance. So in the spiritual realm, even though it doesn't require that the physical body accompanies the soul is really carrying the transgressions of the physical body, and thereby there is, to some degree, some portion of counseling that goes on. So while the soul is being counseled, the physical body is going to incarnate into is already being prepared. And so that's where that discretion comes in.
So, you know, it's interesting because a lot of souls go through this time in the astral realm where there's counsel and repair. But as far as the likelihood of a soul retaining the lessons of the astral realm, what are those contingencies? Because our memories are wiped, essentially, of whatever, for the most part, unless we're,
Well, our memories aren't wiped in the astral realm.
No, when we come to the planet.
When we come to the planet,
our memories of the past lives.
Our absolute memories aren't wiped.
Our conscious memories in the conscious memory of the mind, we don't remember what happened on the astral realm. We don't.
You're right about that. I mean, to some extent, you're right about that. But you know, what we have to distinguish between those two premises is that someone can study for a test and they read the book. They go into the classroom to take the test.
And they
blank out.
Right.
But the energy did filter into the brain. So the energy from the soul world, the spirit world, is filtered into the body.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question or what I said, which is many people are not going to be accessing the full breadth of their cosmic memory when they come down to the planet. That's why people screw up. That's why people come back over and over again. So a soul that is more connected to that cosmic memory, there are going to be different contingencies in their journey than someone who doesn't have the same connection to that cosmic memory.
Yeah, there may be some element of that may be true to some extent. The attitude of the imprint on the body, having come from the astral realm, is also contingent on the attitude of the soul in the astral realm. Sometimes the attitude of the soul in the astral realm can be very obstinate.
A rebellious. There can
defiant.
Be a...
In my journeys to the astral realm, in having the privilege or the opportunity to visit some of these classrooms and see what's going on so that I can deliver this kind of information to the physical realm, I've seen spirit souls really in rebellious form. So there's an attitude when you get into the astral realm. There's still this attitude of duality, to where there's good and evil, black and white, cooperation,
I'm not sure what word you're trying to use. Insubordination.
Yeah, insubordination.
Insubordination.
I knew the word just couldn't flow my tongue.
I didn't know what you were trying to say, but I figured
But
it out.
It's there, you know, and what sometimes happens is you don't enter the astral realm with just your immediate lifetime. You enter the astral realm after one particular death with all your past lives moving around you. So it becomes multi-layered in terms of the extent to how long it may take. Now, some people actually deserve a longer recess. There's great study involved because if they're going to come down to the planet to do major changes from body to soul, the universe principles will be that, okay, then you can stay here longer. It's like someone saying, you know what, I just want to get through high school. I just want to get my AA. No, I want to get my PhD. You're in school longer. So in the astral realm, if you make a commitment to change, you can actually order up a longer time in the astral realm, but it still works. Very few people, you know, people aren't sitting around who are going to come back to the planet in the astral realm, you know, chewing on straw and looking up at the clouds. They're not, it's not really that place. There is a sort of pasture land in the astral realm where I've seen souls in sort of restful positions of content, but still, there is not a long-term restful period. It's like if you go to sleep and you're very tired and you go to sleep and you think, okay, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, but then the alarm goes off at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got to go to work. Same with the souls that are in repose in the astral realm.
Oh, we're going to get to our callers in just a minute, but I wanted to mention something first. And perhaps after we take one of our callers, we can discuss a little bit more what I'm about to bring up. But there are also, as we've talked many times on the show, there are souls that die prematurely. I mean, some souls may die in childhood from a tragic accident and they become stuck. Some people don't believe souls get stuck places, as we know, but actually they do. So those souls are kind of in a purgatory limbo state. Mm-hmm. They're stuck in the astral realm that is more closely connected to the earth, or there's souls that commit suicide and there's a dark room, so to speak. I mean, it's crude language, but a dark room of the astral realm that they're stuck in. And then, I mean, they have to wait to do any type of work. So they're in the astral realm, but they're not working towards a more transcendent attitude.
No.
These types of souls.
I had a person come to me who very unmistakably believed that a person who was once a human being who is now a ghost residing in a hotel is at perfect rest.
Right. It was a hotel that was actually a bordello at one time.
Yeah.
So.
That was actually a bordello, and that they were like almost angelic in form and helping people and they weren't stuck. This is nonsense. Utter nonsense. You don't have a spirit that has transcended the planet that is stuck in a hotel room tickling your cheek and watching over the patrons who has transcended. This is not the idea of transcendence. This is the idea of a trapped soul. And so we've got to get our bearings straight in terms of what is the pure definition of evolving and how we look at the astral realm, whether they're in the literal astral realm on a higher level of energy, dealing with spirits and guides and working out their issues on some sort of, quote, timely basis, or whether they're in the astral realm but devoid of heavenly saints and guides, and they're in the parallel astral world that is directly beside the physical world where they more directly interact with human beings and spending their valuable time playing tricks or it's haunting a place or nudging your face or whatever it is that they're doing, which in the higher astral realm is just pure nonsense. It's trivial. It's just child antics. So higher spirits and guides don't look very fondly upon trapped, lost souls that are doing that. It's sort of disgraceful to the idea that when we transcend, we're going to be sitting in a hotel room interacting with human beings walking out of the hotel. Listen, folks, that's not what transcendence is all about. So what we're looking at is a brighter picture. When a soul goes into the astral realm, the intent is to rise higher, not lower. When you're in the astral realm, the intent of the soul is to say, I want to leave the earth finally. If I have to go back, so be it. But what can I learn here that when I do go back, I'm not going to return here in the same place. I will have built something on the earth that will provide for me as a human being a higher essence in the soul level to where I can transcend the dynamics of the physical plane and not return at all. That's the concept. When somebody dies and they're trapped in a physical location on the planet, they aren't even in the astral realm working out their issues. They're devoid of it. Their time is not even being accounted on an astral sense.
Right.
It's just very low in that regard.
Okay. So let's get to our caller here, Neil, and perhaps we'll have a little bit more time afterward. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's this?
My name is Keisha.
Oh, hi, Keisha. Keisha is an old caller. No, it's K-I-S-H-A. She's been calling us for quite a while. What's your birth date again, please?
379.
2378. And we can't hear you very well. I don't know if you're on a headset, but if you could either, get off the headset or... talk
can
really
you,
loud.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better, yeah. So, 2378.
Well, my birthday's 279.
79? I didn't get the birth date. 2379, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. What's going on? What's your question?
It's just, what did you see coming up for my love life?
Coming up for your love life. Is she? Oh, 31-4?
Uh-huh.
I had the 78, so I was adding hers. So 30 equals 3. Love life. So
well,
are you single?
I think I am.
Sounds like trouble. Well, 31-4. 31-4 sometimes have some difficulties in the love area.
Keisha, when you look at numbers, we don't want to be pigeon.
Stereotyping, but I mean, it's,
Well, the problem with the 31 equals 4 is that there's a really strong challenge towards balance. So you may be, quote, in a relationship, but it doesn't feel balanced. It doesn't feel aligned with your higher self. And that sometimes is a problem that human beings who have this formation of number, more or less any human being that can, it can be about any number, finds themselves in a position of imbalance.
Because of the 1-3-4, it's not an even division.
It's not divisible.
I mean, there's the 22-4 is another set of problems, but anyway, it's more
well,
even.
But the 4 is supposed to say you're balanced. That's heart. That's the balance chakra of the body.
Right, of course.
To where the heart and the body would say, I feel really good. There's the compromise between love and sex and job and well-being. It's all balanced. That's where the psyche is supposed to be.
And the reason it's balanced is because there's 3 chakras beneath and 3 chakras above.
Right.
So it's right in the middle. Aside from the fact that 4, I mean, look at a square. It's totally balanced. 4 sides.
Right. So when we're talking about your position of balance, Keisha, right now and looking at your love life. Number one, when we're looking at your love life, the ringing bell is chakra number 2, sexual energy, the month you're born. And your energy, that's a karmic situation. So if you're involved in a relationship now that you're not totally happy with, this is karma. It's either a direct karma person that you have issues with that you're working out, or the karma that is in your life hasn't left you yet. And you're still bringing in types of people that would suggest karmic themes. And those would be lack of communication, you're just not turned on, whatever you conclude in your mind is the problem, that's part of the karma. Now, you had a change in life at the age of 31, and I don't know from our past.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
What happened at 31, Keisha?
That would have been 27. I broke up with my last real boyfriend. I would consider like a real relationship.
Right, and so we're right in the. I mean, we're in the matters of the heart. That's your, you know.
Yeah.
It's according to the code here.
See, and you broke up. So what's happening is that between 31 and 37, 6 years henceforth, you're still working through karma for some reason. Now, is that inevitable? No, because in your birth date, the 7-9 suggests that you transcend. Those are higher energies, you see. There's a 2 between the 7 and the 9. So you're supposed to be transcending these issues of karma. So the way Kristen and I look at it is that there's something, before you blame the guy or the person you're with, and you're dissatisfied, and you're just saying, I want something.
It's me.
Huh?
When it's you, you're the one who's what are you saying?
I'm saying before we blame them, it might be me. Is what you? Is
okay.
That what you guys are about to tell me?
Well,
you're
it's
maybe.
Not, it's not. Well, thank you, Keisha. But it's not necessarily you. It's something that is you're still carrying. You know, you're still carrying something. There might be, for instance, maybe your father, you didn't trust your father. Maybe he left the family. Maybe there was dissension in your upbringing. That could be part of the cue and the clues as to resolving your issues. Was there a real strong family life in your upbringing?
Yeah, my dad, him and my mother were together until he died in 11. I'm thinking it was that bad breakup in when I was 31, because it's like you are correct. I don't trust people. I don't trust guys after that. Like, so
okay,
that could
be
what I'm carrying.
You know what we do with that one? Then we don't go to your immediate family. That breakup at 31, we have to jump probably back to a
past life
that brought that one in. So that's
okay.
Simple. We don't go to your immediate family then. We're jumping back somewhere in a past life zone to where that individual came in that would require probably a further investigation into his birth date so we can see if we can unscramble the clues and figure out why you're still dissatisfied and not finding that significant person that will impact your life positively.
Real quick, because we have other callers we've got to take, but is there a birth date you wanted us to look at in terms of a someone you're involved with right now, or are you looking for new people or new men?
I don't want none of the ones that I was involved with. I could give you the birth date of the person that we had that big problem out of.
Okay.
That's my
kid.
We can take that. Kid's father.
I mean, if you're interested in us looking at that, but go ahead.
His birthday is 3/17/1988. He was younger than me, too.
Is this the one that you broke up with in 2010?
Yep.
11/21/37/10/1.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's a one. And not only that, but that's in your 31 of your karma.
Yeah, they got 11 between their 17
His
and 3.
His karmic number is 37, which is the age you're at right now. His numbers add up to 37, and first, and not only that, Keisha, but his first and third numbers of his birth date are 3 and 7, which happens to be your age.
And their months become her month and day, 2, 3.
Your master numbers together become a 4 and a 1, which is a 5, which is the accumulation of your month and day, 5. So it's a communication level of karma that has ties to sexuality.
Right, and their days become an 11. Well, I mean, if you add his day together, 1 and 7 is an 8, and to her 3, it's an 11 too, which is that can be problematic.
Yeah. So that gives us some substance to work with in terms of trying to bring you to a current space of analyzing the energy of how to transcend that position where you've been traumatized somewhat.
Right. And she's got an 11 in her 2-9. Her first and last numbers are 29.
Yeah.
So that's also a bit of difficulty.
He's compounded, which means that he would have cheated or done something or had a divorce.
Oh,
he
did. He did.
Yeah.
See?
So, that's where
Neil's right on it.
That's where the beginning of the problems, that's the tip of the iceberg, but it's leading down to something deeper. We don't have time to go into that, but we're giving you some introductory information on where we're at so we can get further into it maybe at a later date.
Okay.
Well, okay. I mean, is there any, like, you know, as far as a relationship on the horizon, let's see, how old is she?
No,
37?
If Keisha goes on a relationship on the horizon, she's going to continue. She has to clear something up.
She has to clear something up.
Yeah.
So that's
what I can't because every guy, I might meet guys I really like and they really like me, and then I'll back off or something. I like, you know, I even had a friend tell me the other day, now me and him's cool. We just friends for like 2-3 years. He told me yesterday he left me. I was like, wow. He got so mad I was messing with others. I didn't get it. So I was just like, you know what? I need a break again. From everybody.
Maybe when she's 40.
Well, the break you need is the recess you can have now on the earth where you can do proper counseling.
Right, you don't have to go to the astral realm like we talked about on the show.
You don't have to wait for the next lifetime. You need some proper interaction with somebody who's got their head on straight to help you get focused so that you release this karma and find a true value in the person you're connected to. That's really entwined in your future. It's coming. It's just that you haven't gone to the classroom on this planet to get there, to clear it up. That's what's needed. So it's not a matter of waiting, taking a break. Taking a break is not the answer, Keisha. Taking a break and doing some educational work is the answer.
Okay,
Keisha. Well, that's all we have time
Thank
for today,
you.
But hopefully that helps.
No, have a good day.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. I mean, you know, it would be nice to be able to solve everyone's problems in an hour, but calling, you know, might be a good idea for Keisha after the show because, you know, it may not take a ton of work, but things need to be addressed definitely before a healthy relationship
More or less 6 minutes, you know.
Right, exactly. Okay, 631 and then 818. Those are our next callers. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, who's this?
It's Jill Ann.
Jill Ann. Is that
A-N-N
or A-N-N-E?
There's no E.
Okay. All right.
No E. J-O space capital A-N-N. How
Jill
are you?
Ann. Oh, I thought you said Jill. Did you think
you
said Jill Ann?
Jill.
Yeah.
No, Jo Ann.
Joanne. Okay. Well, still, I mean, the E is sometimes there. My middle name is Anne, actually, with an E. But you're Anne without an E. Joanne, where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Long Island. Okay. And your birth date?
12/5/66.
56 or 66?
66.
Oh,
6, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18 and 12 is a 30 equals 3. Okay. And Joanne, what brings you to the show today?
I was wondering, you know, I've been married once and I've been single since my divorce for several years now, and I would like to get married again, but I'm not really, you know, I've been applying myself towards work and my education at this point, and I've accomplished what I've wanted to. So now I'm just wondering, you know, is there anything on the horizon as far as a relationship that could turn into marriage? Will I get married again, basically?
And you're going to be 50 in December, correct? Wait,
December
did I write?
5th, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
12/5/66 is the birthday, right? Mm-hmm. So what?
Right.
When did you get divorced? What year?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Well, that's interesting. Three is your master number.
Ago.
So it's no surprise that you're calling. And did you, at the age of 30, in 1996, do you remember anything that occurred in your life?
Yeah, I was engaged.
You were engaged, so you're about to get married.
Somebody else,
okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking that you might want to get involved again after this 3 years of being divorced.
Right.
Well, first of all, let's look. Did you have a child somewhere in there? One child?
No.
Did you lose any children? Anything happen there?
I've lost a child, yes, but I've not full term.
So that's the vibration that Neil's connecting with. So that's just the vibe.
I just wanted to get my vibration right. So there was a lost child in birth or something for whatever reasons. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to make sure I was getting that vibe. So here's my story to you, Joel.
2014.
The idea of the future holding a significant other, which could lead to marriage, that's valid. Okay. So I'm not giving a reading. We're not giving a reading that says you're not going to have that. So we have a valid premise. Someone's out there. Now, your master number is 3. It's divisible. 30 is divisible by 3. You're at 49 right now. You're 19 years beyond that. But I'm too going to suggest that this premise may not happen until 51. Big deal. I mean, that's not a problem. If I said to you, it's not going to happen, that would be a problem. If I said, well, it may not be until you're 51, which is actually, what is that?
1 year.
How many multiples? 17 multiples of 3. That might be 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah. Because 12 and 5, your month and day is a 17. And 17 times 3, which is your master number, is 51.
51.
So my thought is that at 51, that could be when you get married. That could be when you meet the guy. I don't know which one it is. It's one of those vibrations. I mean, you got engaged in 1996. How long was your engagement for?
Yeah, what year did you get married? I think that's the question to ask.
Well, I didn't marry him. I gave the ring back. It was a short term. I should have gotten married, but there were circumstances that made it really difficult to get married. There was an ex-wife and children involved, and it just got ugly. So I said, you know, I don't want to live like this. So I gave the ring back, and then I just, went on with my life. And then I met my husband, who was my ex-husband, and then we got engaged, and then I broke that engagement, and then we got re-engaged, and then we finally got married. But that marriage didn't last long. We were together longer than we were married, put it that way.
So when – you were going to ask the duration of the relationship?
Well, when were you actually married to your husband?
2004.
So 10 years. And then you were with him for how many years prior to that?
I was with him about 4 years prior.
Sure. So you were around 38, 30. You were close to 39 when you got married.
I was 38, yeah.
Yeah, 38. Okay, 38, close to 39.
Right. I got married in September, right.
Multiple of 3. Let me ask you something, Joanne. Have you ever been interested in real estate? Have you ever owned your own home? Real estate.
I love real estate. I follow markets all the time.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't own any right now, but I do love it.
I see.
I love it.
You love it because it's in my analyst analysis of your code and the vibration I'm getting from your voice. So there's a mutual agreement there between us. Me coming from an area of ignorance in terms of knowing you, but significant knowledge in terms of reading you. and then your validation that you uphold my premise. So that there's some importance there. The idea of real estate brings into mind the idea of geography and the location of earth space. So your earth space, where you're at in your earth space, physically speaking, could be contingent on the idea of whether you're going to be meeting this guy or where you're going to be meeting this guy.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the guy may have something to do, M-A-Y, that's all, may have something to do with transportation, rapid transit, something to do with transportation. I don't know what that is yet, but that's starting to come into play.
Hmm.
Have you? Do you have any current interest in transportation, a car, a vehicle? Did anybody ever work for the city in transportation around you? Anything with transportation?
Yeah, I have an ex-boyfriend whose family owned a limousine company.
So there, you see how it works.
And he's always asking me to go out to Vegas and move there, and you know, because that's where he works now. I'm like, I don't think so, you know.
But what this means, aside from the psychic hits, is the validation of your journey. And I'm starting to read your journey and figure out where some of the pieces are coming from. It's a puzzle. But as you put the pieces together, you start to see the picture. And I'm starting to see your picture. We don't have time to complete the picture. I can tell you that maybe at 51, you will have that lucky charm. Joanne, that's kind of a tomboyish name. Is there any Irish or anything in the family? Or
no.
Are you Italian?
My father is Romanian Gypsy. My mother's German and Polish.
Oh, okay. Eastern European.
Well,
because I was thinking lots of Italians in Long Island, right? But there's a lot of Eastern Europeans too.
I don't know. Were you ever, Joe? The only reason I'm saying, because I'm stereotyping the name, Joanne, has sometimes a strong, women who are named Joanne sometimes have a physicality.
That's why she has a five in her day.
Yeah. Were you physically capable as a woman? Were you
athletic?
I'm very athletic. I always had been. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm shapely. I'm not overweight or anything like that. I'm proportionate. I'm a Sagittarian, you know what I mean? I'm true Sagittarian. I'm very true to my sign.
Well, you know, German, the big hikers, they really, stereotype again, but a real strong sense of hiking and physicality and things like that. Polish, that's a different attitude.
I'm Polish and I don't hike.
Well, there's a sense of, Poles have a sense of survival, a strong
that's
sense
true.
Of survival.
That's true.
So, you know, we don't want to stereotype these things. But anyways, that's our brief reading for you.
Okay, Joanne. Well, keep in touch. And you may follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on Facebook. We always appreciate when our callers and listeners do that. So I hope you enjoyed the reading.
I did. Thank you very much, both of you. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome.
Have
you
a great
too.
Week.
Weekend and the weekend. Both.
Yeah,
okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, a couple callers, Neil. 818 says first. Hi.
Hi. Happy, I forget what day it is, Wednesday. Whimsical Wednesday.
Thank you. Who's this?
Enchantress from California.
Oh, hi.
What's
it's been
hi.
Quite a while.
It has.
Enchantress. What's your birth date again? I think you're,
9/15/54.
A seven.
Yeah, I've been around, since last time I spoke to you, I was a triangle.
Is she seven? No.
You said 9/15 or 9/17?
9/15. I'm a seven. I was with a guy who was a 33 and a guy that was a six.
Well, it's either a 33 is a six. So master numbers are always confused.
But he's a 33, but one was a six in numerology. The other one was a 33. So.
Well, six in numerology. So let me explain, Enchantress, how we work numerology on our show. The birth date is added up completely. Mm-hmm. So someone that was a six, I don't know how, I mean, he would have to be born in 2000, then the 2000s to actually have a solid six only. So you actually have to add the entire birth date, and then you come up with a number like 33, or in her case, she's a 34, or is she a 43?
Yeah, 34.
She's a 34. 34 is your karmic number, and then 7 would be your master number. So master numbers
wow,
are
I'm a 34. I had no idea. Wow.
I'm sorry?
I had no idea it was a 34. I just saw the 7.
No, you're a 34 because 9 plus yeah. 1 plus 5 plus 1 plus 9 plus 5 plus 4 equals 34. And then you have to reduce that to a 7. So when you... you know, each one of us has a karmic number. A karmic number is a fixed kind of fixed state of karma that we're in for the for a set period. So that would be 34 for you. So in like 1988, there should have been, is that right? 1988, there should have been a change in your life.
Oh, there's a change every day in my life pretty much. But no, my son was born in 89. So, and my daughter was born in 86. So those were
so it sounds
change.
Like you were pregnant in 88, probably. So you got pregnant in 1988. So that was your change. And then you, you
oh,
know.
Oh, yes. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So that is it. And so you're a 7. Your life goes in cycles of 7. And I haven't even figured out how old she is. How old is she?
62.
Oh, 62. So she's coming up on a change.
What
but
she
the
had
thing
a,
is, I,
in 1963,
I've,
right?
Not to over-talk I mean, to you, over-talk you, but... we have a lot of sociopaths in our world. I unfortunately married one, and it's just the rest of them were. The last one before that one, I don't believe he is one. He's the one who saved me. But the rest of the family, business-wise, sociopaths.
Yeah, that's no good.
No.
You were going to say something, Neil? I mean, she's going to be 63, so that's going to
be... Well, 62 is a multiple of 7 from 34. So
yeah,
she's
that's
in
right.
a change right now,
that's
and then
right.
she'll be in a change at 63, and she's
I
married a lot of
that.
Sociopaths. So
no, I only married one sociopath. The other ones were relations. I would never get married again after that one, that's for sure.
Okay.
So
for the purpose of the radio show, what's your question?
Oh, well, do you see in the future? Do you understand the future that I know I've learned a lot of life lessons. I thought I learned a lot from each one. I have. But the thing is, they're all so different. They appear all so different at first, but then they're all the same underneath it. It's quite confusing, I'll tell you.
Who appears different at birth? And
yeah, I'm not,
well, I'm not
I don't
sure
know if we're
what,
understanding. So,
do you want to go by my birth? Okay, I was in a dream world, pretty much. No awareness of any kind. Only saw good in people, only learned to judge, not to judge others, never judge others. And so I never knew about intuition, awareness, anything, and no boundaries. So I guess maybe
so
that's part of the reason.
So that's why you got involved with these toxic people, essentially, because you really didn't know to have discretion with who you got involved with because you were so trusting.
I guess that is. I didn't realize I was trusting, but now I'm beginning to, I'm not aware of their intentions. I can pick up energy from people, but their intentions is difficult.
Well, let me tell you something. When
mm-hmm.
we, the beginning of explaining your journey through life, now listen to me closely. You're born with a 9 and a 1 at the beginning of your life in your birth date code. Now, if we go over to your year, we have 5-4, which is a 9, and the 19 is actually a 10 or a 1. So in reflection, you have a 9-1 in the first two numbers, and if we manipulate the last numbers a little bit in the year, you also have a 9-1. It's connected to a 4 and a 5, which means that the idea that you are actually moving forward and getting in touch with a past life, that's why you're having this division, whereby there was a sense of betrayal, mistrust, that maybe, perhaps, Enchantress, in a former lifetime as a male energy, you caused some friction in the world. So your male-female split psyche is now in battle. It's in battle within your body. But it's coming from the main theater of a past life diversity of both male and female past lives. So you're sort of in this conflict. Now, the good news is that in this lifetime, you can resolve that and find a out of this turmoil and darkness, a sense of completion and balance that I'm suggesting you can do. You're 62, and maybe in our conversation today, the premise that I'm establishing with you can be completed by or before the end of the year of 63 in your age. But you've got to go through some intense self-examination to try to understand finally in this lifetime how to merge your male and female psyches together. That's the journey. I don't think it's a hard journey. I mean, doing this all the years that I've been doing this and looking at your world, it doesn't seem that difficult. Yeah, it takes work, but difficult? Maybe. But so
what do you? What do you mean by male and female? Now, that's interesting you should say that, because I'm a daddy's girl. My dad taught me a certain way, not to trust other people, not to get too close with people. So when I was growing up, I didn't get close to them. I didn't. Men did like me, guys especially, girls not as much, more of a threat. But the love part of giving love to someone, I didn't experience that in my teens.
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately, real quickly, because our radio was only structured for a very short reading, the idea of the male-female psyche is we're, as human beings, we're supposed to have that balance. And until we do between the male and female psyche content, we're sort of missing the mark of being really fully balanced. So in you have a duality going on that is somewhat counterbalanced. So what you have to do is look thoroughly into the dimensions of masculinity, the dimensions of femininity, and within yourself, bring them together so that the conversation is of one. You're giving me a conversation even now that's a contrasting of balance. So we'd have to merge deeper into the psyche to bring that conversation more into a wholeness than something lacking wholeness. But that would be your next stage of development in terms of where you would go in our world of thinking.
That's interesting you're saying that, because I think that's what I'm researching. That even though the men, there's something attraction between me and them, a sensuality, whatever it is, the true attention with any people, what they want out of you, why you're in their relationship with them, what is the purpose of the whole thing, that is very confusing. So you would say the general, most people do understand the psychic of a person's mind, why they're in relationships with people.
Well, I don't know if most people understand it, but real quickly, and then we're going to move on to our next caller. I don't know if most people understand it, but that is the premise. Whether most people understand it is, neither here nor there. That's the reality. The reality of the human experience is to balance our male and female psyches together so that we have that wholeness. Now, innately, we as in human beings do know that on some innate level, but how available it is to our consciousness is a whole other matter.
Right, and specifically, she, as a 34/7, is going to have more of that journey in her life because of the 3 and 4, which represents male and or female, I should say, 3 and 4 male psyche. Some people aren't going to have that opportunity, so it's a good. I mean, they'll have to come back to balance. So you have it in this lifetime. So go for it.
Thank you. If you have nines with the people were the guys that were they were both nines or
yeah well that they're
a week apart, 2 weeks apart,
but
so that makes
we have
a difficulty.
To talk about it on another show because we've
thank
got
you
to,
so
we've
much.
Only got 4 minutes and we've
okay,
got to get
thank
to another caller before we close. Okay, thank
you so much. Okay,
thank
bye.
You very much. Bye-bye. Okay, and
last caller,
and this is actually Cheryl from Thousand Oaks.
Hi,
Cheryl.
How are you? I have so much going on. I just want to see if you got anything. 7766.
Yeah, we have your birthday. She's the 36/9.
66?
Yeah.
kind of like my
life. Are you doing a lot of real estate these days?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a 30, you got 36.9?
She's a 36.9.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's a big topic, what's going on. There's 10 different topics. I will say one thing to you. To me, it's somewhat superficial. It's not a big need of concern in my world of thinking. But one of your buildings is, one of your properties, it has a problem. I don't know if it's a structural problem or vermin or infested with something, but I'm getting a bad feeling about one of the properties. I don't know how it's manifesting as a true physical term, but there's something wrong with one of the properties. I don't know what it is yet. Is it mold? I don't know yet. Rain damage, mold. There's something in there. Now you may, Cheryl, be thinking, "Gee, I don't know. I don't see anything." But there's something.
No, I do.
Wrong. Oh, you
do? Okay. What is it, real quick?
No. I mean, the roof needs some work, and there might be some mold. I'm not sure where it's at, but yeah, there is some issue.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, these are earth-shattering problems, and certainly these aren't connected to your soul or your spirit. But I know from our past readings, you have real estate concerns, and so we just decided to address that for you today. But there is a problem there, and you may find in that building the headache may get worse before it gets better.
Okay. Yeah, actually, yeah, I've noticed electrical sockets. So nothing on really my love life being okay or...
Your love life? Your love life, well, your love life has two departs. Ultimately, there's a journey of union. Two, right now there's problems. So you're going through the problematic stage of traveling towards a relationship that can be fulfilling, but you're in the problematic stage right now, which means that you're stopped at a stop sign. You're stopped to confront something, to look at something deep within yourself. Maybe it's something you're running from. I don't know. But you've got to stop first and look at yourself and really delve deep into your psyche about really what it is about a relationship that you're still having a problem with, that may be in a fear factor or a obstacle of some kind, a conflict. Once that's released, Cheryl, then there is a fulfillment of relationship.
Okay, and Cheryl, we're getting our 60-second warning. We do need to stop on time today.
Okay, I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Take care. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Neil. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done for the day. We're back on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern.
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay.